Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Father, now I ask that you will remove me from what I'm about to tell this congregation, Lord. Lord, that we do not need to be worried, that we can fully trust in you in all circumstances, in all times, in all places, because you alone are faithful, Lord. Even when we are not, you are. And we can, Lord, we can take that and strengthen our spirits, strengthen our souls, and help us to face the things that are to come. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray all of this. Amen. Well, I had a comment, and it was good intention during the week from someone, because I've been preaching, you know, the cost of discipleship and the things that could happen to Christians and things like that. And the comment was, you know, it's good to hear that, but we need to have a little bit more enthusiasm because God's going to get us through all that. And I agree with that. So today we're going to be talking about why we should not be worried. Now, who remembers Alfred E. Newman? Y'all never thought y'all'd hear that from a pulpit, did you? What was Alfred E. Newman's catchphrase? What, me worry? That's right. Very interesting. Now, that was supposed to be sarcastic and talking about someone who's not very smart, as Alfred appeared to be in the comic books. But we as Christians need to have an attitude of not worrying. Now, I'll be the first person to tell you, I break that all the time. I worry about anything and everything all the time. I don't know if that's my human sinfulness or just me personally, whatever it is. But I titled today, No Worries. Now, this past month has seen a lot of news, haven't it? A couple days ago, President Trump met with Putin over the Ukraine war, a bloody war. I mean, it's been the worst war in Europe, I think the only war in Europe. No, I can't say that because I forgot about Yugoslavia and everything. Since World War II, okay? But they're trying to figure it out. And then there's a headline that said, World War III, Thailand and Cambodia border clashes escalate toward warlike situation. So Southeast Asia is in turmoil. Now, other things have been happening in this world. Remember a couple weeks ago they had that 8.8 earthquake off Kamchatka, Russia? I've been to Kamchatka underwater, but I have been there. The same day there was a 5.1 quake off Chile. And then there was a 5.7 quake off Tonga in the Pacific. Folks, wars and earthquakes. And then persecution. A headline, Christians endure sustained attack as fears of terrorist takeover grow in Nigeria. Also, following violent attacks against 14 Christian families in a remote village in Maharashtra, India. They went in, they killed the families, and they burned the houses. Persecution. Wars, earthquakes, and persecutions. Where I could go on and on. In fact, there are wars and earthquakes every day, not just in physical things and countries and things like that. There's wars and earthquakes in our own lives. We're fighting against things that try to take us away from God. We're fighting against things that try to take us away from people that love and care about us. And then we have the earthquake of something shattering happening in our lives, the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, a child being astray. All kind of earthquakes that shake us up. I've only been in one earthquake, and that was actually here in Missouri. A few years ago, me and Shiny were lying in bed, and all of a sudden the frame on the pictures in the bedroom started going ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. They were having an earthquake in Oklahoma, and we felt it in Kansas City. I don't know if y'all remember that or not, but we did. So what am I trying to say? These things happen every day to us. Christian persecution itself grows from either false religion or humanism, which is a religion unto itself. Now, the humanism comes specifically from the West. Okay? It's progress. It's communism. It's all kind of things that try to take Christianity away from those that believe in Jesus. Because they try to tell you that what you believe is foolish. And it in itself is a combat and an earthquake. But in all of this, Jesus taught us not to worry because He has it all under His control. Well, that's not right, preacher, because all these bad things are happening. If God loved us, then why doesn't He do that? Because God gave us the freedom of choice. And some people choose to do evil. And then because of sin, the earth itself is under the curse of sin. Therefore, storms, earthquakes, forest fires, all kind of things like that happen. We don't like to think about it, but God allows that because of choices we made in our history or we make now. You build your house on the coast, you're going to have a hurricane. You build your house in California, you're going to have a wildfire. Okay? You build your house in the center of Kansas City, and you're probably going to get broken into. Okay? Things like that happen. But Jesus is in control of all of this. What did He say? Luke 21, 10 through 19 is our text today. I'm going to read it first and then break it down. Verse 10, Luke 21. Everybody got there in your Bibles or on the screen? Okay, gave you a little moment to do that. Then said He unto them, He was talking to the disciples. Jesus was speaking to the disciples. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. We've heard that our whole life. And there's been wars ever since the beginning of the Garden of Eden. Okay, when the angel threw him out of the garden, that was the kind of war because God put him on guard duty with a flaming sword that flashed all over the place. All right, verse 11, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. That's why I said different places that all these earthquakes happened in. And famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. How many of y'all have read that, this weird object that's floating around out there that might be from another galaxy or someplace, interstellar space? That's a sign in the heaven. How many of y'all have seen the meteors coming in and all these weird things that are going on? That's not weird, that's natural, but still God gave it to us as a sign. Verse 12, but before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons. That's the persecution I was talking about. Being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. That means we are required, when that happens to us, to make a statement on what we believe and why we believe it. Now remember we talked about, I believe it was, well, we'll say there in just a second. God gives you the words when you need them, is what I'm trying to say. Verse 13, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, with all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Think about that. When you come to that point in your life where you have to make that stand, whether it be something big like in front of a king or a ruler, or in front of your brother-in-law or your child, God will give you what to say in that moment. Don't sit there and think, oh Lord, what am I going to say? Let me plan. It's good to study. It's good to prepare. It's good to know what the enemy's thinking. But let me tell you something. God will give you the words to say. Moving on, verse 16. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Not very cheery, huh? Verse 17. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Folks, you make a stand for Christ out in the public. You can say God all you want because everybody has their own interpretation of who God is. But you mention Jesus, you mention Christ, and what happens? It's like a veil falls over the people and they go on the aggressive attack. That is because Satan does not want to give up his kingdom in any shape or form. But he's already been whooped. Because 18 says, but there shall not on one hair of your head perish. We will be protected. Okay, now, let's understand here. Perish means more than just physical death. Yes, he already said some people would be caused to be put to death. But we're not going to perish in the eternal sense because we belong to Jesus Christ. And He is the living Son of God, living even now, coming back. We do not have to worry. Verse 19, in your patience, possess your souls. That means you're going to have to bear with some of it. But brothers and sisters, we will be celebrating with Christ in heaven for all eternity. The Lamb has overcome. The Lamb that was slain has overcome all the evils in this world already. We just ain't got that point yet. You know, my daughter is entering her senior year. And I told Grace's parents this morning, be careful, the shine wears off pretty quick. Okay? Once they get a little bit older and things start happening. But you know, it seems like yesterday I took her to her first day of school. You know, time will go. We know the end is coming. We know what's going to happen. She's going to graduate and move on with her life. We know that's going to happen. But we got to get there first. We got to get through all these things that happen before that blessed moment occurs. Folks, when Christ returns, a blessed moment occurs. Okay? Now, based on this text, we've seen the warnings that Jesus gave us. And I've given the examples of the fulfillment of those warnings, all those that I said. And like I said earlier, I could go on and mention all kinds of things. Brother Jeff, you cover most of these on Wednesday nights. And I encourage people to go to there and listen and study. Sometimes it sounds scary, I'll be the first to admit. But that's for those that don't understand and don't understand the Holy Spirit, who gives us comfort when we face things like that. And like we said earlier, there have always been wars, but only relatively recently could the entire world be effective. You know, up until about World War II, yes, we had World War I and many nations, but the entire world wasn't affected. We have World War III, guess what's going to happen? I don't know if any of y'all saw the documentaries over this past week, but we just reached the 80th anniversary of the Nagasaki and Hiroshima bombings, okay? And I'm not getting into the validity of that, because all innocent people that are hurt breaks my heart. But let me tell you something. Evil gets repaid, okay? And a lot of what that government did, not only to us at Pearl Harbor, but to China and Korea and all over the place, that government deserved judgment, and they received it. But the innocent children and stuff that were hurt, it's a heartbreak to watch. But if World War III happens, the whole world is going to be like that. Folks, but we do not need to worry. How can you say that, Brother Charles? You just said all this evil stuff. Yes, but evil is going to happen. Okay? Now, the entire world could be affected. And another thing, until relatively recently, the whole world might not know what's going on. You had telegraph and all that stuff. You had radio during World War II. How many of y'all remember listening to Edward R. Murrow during the Battle of Britain? This is London. And he would sit there and you could hear the sirens and the bomb blast in the background when the Nazis were bombing London. Okay? And you think about what's going to happen when World War III starts, when the missiles fly. One day, we may, God willing, it's going to be a while, or if not at all, because God still controls everything. We're going to be sitting out and we're going to see little fingers go up from the missile silos here in the Midwest, and we're going to know something is about to happen to us. Folks, you can run and you can hide all you want to, but when that happens, brothers and sisters, there ain't going to be no running and hiding. We're all going to have to face rebuilding and the judgment that God has sent, because all wars in some fashion are judgments upon the people that they happen. Sometimes God sends it and sometimes man's sinfulness sends it. But God uses that punishment to rebuild people in a closer relationship with Him. You don't believe me? Ask Israel. What happened to Jerusalem? Not only in the time after Solomon when the Assyrians came in, well, no, the Babylonians came in and they burnt down Jerusalem. The Romans did it too. And then after that, the Arabs did it when they controlled it. And then the British controlled it. And then it just time after time, it was destroyed and sacked and people were killed and murdered for different reasons. But I'm here to tell you that over the last 70 years or so, the whole world will know and see what is happening. And here's the kicker. All at once. Now, I got this little thing in my pocket, or actually it's on the pew right now because I don't want anybody interrupting like they've done before with me. You can see on your phone what's going on in Antarctica. You can get a live cam and see what's going on top of Mount Everest. Did anybody ever think we would see stuff like that? We all know when something happens. Okay, brothers and sisters? Excuse me one second. We cannot and should not overlook the teachings of Christ in this matter. We must be ready at any moment to stand firm in the faith, the Christian faith, and be patient as these events play out before us. And we should not worry, because we are given all we need to get through it all and stand before the throne of God to worship and praise of Him who knows the beginning and the end simultaneously. God already knows what's going to happen to each and every one of us. Well, I want to know. No, you don't. Would you do anything if you knew the exact time you were going to pass from this world? Some of us, oh, I'd party. No, you wouldn't. You'd be scared to death. Because you know that's all the time. God in His mercy does not let us know the future, okay, within certain limits. Yes, like I said, I know my daughter's going to graduate. I know so-and-so is going to die of cancer, stuff like that. Yes, we know the future in that way. But the big events, the global events, we don't know. And I'm thankful to God all the time that I don't. Why? Because He gives me my job right now to do. And we must take encouragement from His warnings and His blessings that He gives us. So we praise Him who knows the end from the beginning. Now, A good teacher tells the student what is to come. The best teacher prepares the student for what is to come. The ultimate teacher equips the student to handle what is to come. Christ does all of this for His children. Now let's break the text down today. Going back to verse 10 and 11. Then said unto him, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. I've already given you two big examples of that, okay? The Putin and Trump meeting, and then the war in Ukraine. But many more are to follow. What happened with the American Civil War? That happened right here. What about World War I and World War II, where our family members went overseas and fought these wars? Okay? Each war prepared the way for the next war in many ways. The Civil War forged a unified nation needed to handle both world wars that were to come. Imagine if this country was split during World War I or World War II. Could we have won those wars? Maybe in God's wisdom and timing, but it would have been a lot harder because we would have been two separate nations. Okay? Now, that being said, that world war that came first fought and forged a Europe fit for dictatorships and alliances needed to face them. And as evil as World War II was, God used it to prepare for Israel to return in advance of the end times. If it hadn't been for World War II, Israel would not be a nation right now. Now, God's will still would have been accomplished. And we had to go through a lot of pain, family members and different countries' folks. The United States was not the only one fighting World War II. A lot of people happened to be in that conflict. You know, we know about what happened to the Jewish people. The Russian people themselves lost almost 20 million people over the years. Now, they kind of brought it on themselves because they were allies with Hitler, and then Hitler turned on them. I don't know if you know history, but that's what happened. All right, London was completely leveled in some aspects. The only place they didn't bomb was Buckingham Palace. But St. Paul's and all the old, some people jokingly called it Hitler's urban renewal program because a lot of the old neighborhoods burnt to a crisp, and that's why they have all these new high-rise buildings all over London. Well, anyway, and then World War II prepared for Israel to come in advance. God did not cause these wars. Evil men caused these wars. But He used the actions of evil men for His purposes as He did with Babylon, Greece, and Rome in their times. God used those situations to prepare the world and the hearts of His people for what was to come next. When we read Revelation and Daniel and a few of the other books, we understand that bad things are going to happen in the end times, but it's preparing this world for Christ's return and for our eternity in heaven with Him on a new earth and a new heaven. Think of that. But wars and politics and things and earthquakes are not the only thing that's going to happen. Verse 12, But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. When someone is praying outside an abortion clinic and they get arrested and they have to stand before a judge, that's what it's talking about. When the government eventually turns against Christians and they haul us to jail, folks, they're going to. Before the rapture comes, I don't know, but after the rapture, definitely. They're going to make us face councils and rulers. What are we going to do? Are we going to back out as many people do? Because, folks, all of y'all know that there are some Christians that are only Christian for the blessing and for, you know, the fellowship or whatever. But when the brass tacks comes, it's going to be, I'm going to not make a wave. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be silent. I don't want to get persecuted. I even read a book one time where this man in feudal Japan, this is like way back in the 1700s, one of the first Christians that went there, was captured. His friends were literally crucified, all right, there in Edo, which is actually Tokyo. That's what it was called back then. But they took a bronze picture of Christ that one of the missionaries had. These were missionaries that came over with the Portuguese. And they threw it down and ordered the people that were going to be crucified. I hope that ain't the devil growling because I'm preaching the truth. What is that? Oh, Jeff's humming? Okay, then I'll keep going. I thought somebody was revving up a Harley down on the interstate. There you go. All right. Lord, the devil used that to take my mind off what I was saying. Where was I at? Oh, stepping on the picture. Thank you. And they said, these Christians, you are going to step on this picture of Jesus to deny your faith. And the author of the book was like, well, that's what Jesus came for, to be abused, to be sacrificed. Folks, the Bible is clear. You deny Jesus before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Okay? Now, a picture is just a picture, okay? There's nothing special about a picture. But it's what it represents. It's what it represents. That cross up there is just a piece of wood. But what does it represent? It represents salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we must be prepared to give an account of that when we are called to do that. Okay? Like I said, God did not cause these wars, but He used the actions. But before all this, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. That's why you're there, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Okay, you're there because you belong to Him. And the world and the enemy, Satan, hates it. He will do everything he can. He will use everything he can, whether it's your health or your mental fitness or your family member or your co-workers or your friends or your habits or whatever it may be. He will use everything to turn you away from God. But you don't have to, because Christ said, don't worry. Even if they do all this stuff, even if you do all this stuff, don't worry, stand firm. Okay? Was there persecution in those times? Absolutely. We know the history of the Roman Colosseum and the people being sent to the lions and gladiators and all those things. People being burned as torches in Nero's garden. Folks, if you ever get a chance, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It will make you cry for what our brothers and sisters have been through and what they are going through in certain parts of the world right now. Do they stand first? Stand fast? Yes, many do, and they are killed. But you know what? They have the crown of martyrdom given to them. Now, folks, please don't understand. I'm not saying go run out in front of a truck. Don't go and find it. It will find you when the time is right. Excuse me, when the time is right. Now, God used that persecution for different reasons, like judgment, discipline, and development of political and natural national situations that moved His purposes along. We understand sometimes that all these things frighten us, they scare us, but they're all under God's control, and He causes them to move us toward what He has for us in the future. The second coming of Christ, the rapture, all these things. Now, folks, the rapture and the second coming are two different things. We know that, right? The rapture is when He calls us to meet Him in the air. He doesn't come back to earth. When He comes back to earth, that's the second coming, Revelation 19. All right? But we get scared, we get nervous, we get worried. What is all this stuff going to happen to us? Well, that's your opportunity. Persecution has, does, and will exist for those who love God. Verse 13, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. What is a testimony? Saying, I've been there, I've done this, I believe that, I know this is true. When I talk to other people, other pastors and stuff about our church, I give a testimony to the loving atmosphere that we find here. For the truthfulness that we share when we teach and study the Bible, whether it's me or the Sunday school teachers or Brother Jeff or whoever it may be. That is a testimony, because Christ is worthy of our testimony. He is. God used it for reasons like discipline. You know, if somebody's out of line and they go through persecution, all right, they start believing a false thing, judgment sometimes will bring you back into the fold. That's discipline. Okay, another word for that judgment is discipline. And here we go, and He also uses all this for development of political and natural situation that moved His purposes along. I talked of Israel being formed because of what happened in World War II. Okay? All these things happen. But they happen because we love God. And He shall turn to you for testimony. 14, settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. That means He's going to give you what to say that they can't refute. Now, they can use all kind of academic arguments. They can use all kind of political arguments. They can use all kind of philosophical worldviews. But folks, the truth of the Bible is the truth of the Bible, and it does not change because man changes all the time. His attitudes and all kind of things like that. What we need is to be firm and true to what God has taught us, the teachings of Jesus, in the Word of God. Okay? And if something we think or feel is in the Word of God, then we don't need to worry about it. If something we feel or believe is not in the Word of God or is against the Word of God, we need to turn tail and run as fast as we can toward God. Okay, that's what we need to do. So verse 13 and 14, verse 15 I already said, I will give you the mouth and wisdom. This is why Jesus tells us about these events so that we can prepare and we can know that we're not going to be alone in all of this. We are going to be servants of Almighty God, called for particular time in this world. Folks, we used to sing a hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. Okay? Marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before, like a royal banner leads against the foe. Forward in the battle, see His servants go. That's the original words. I know we changed it up in our hymnal. But brothers and sisters, we are called to stand firm in the faith of Jesus Christ, regardless of persecution, regardless of physical things happening like earthquakes, regardless of the wars that come. Folks, when you are away from God and persecution comes and trial comes and wars come and disasters come, what does that normally do? How many of y'all being in church after September 11th? How many people were in these churches? Almost full, right? Why? Because people were scared. Being scared brings you back to one who gives you comfort and gives you strength to get through that time. And we got through it. All of us got through it. I was on an airplane flying to Korea to see Shiny for the first time when that happened. I was the last flight out of LAX before getting there. Now, when we flew over Incheon Airport, which is the big airport there near Seoul, there were tanks on the runway. Now, I ain't the brightest kid in the room. But, you know, when I see tanks on the runway, something happened. And once we landed, the captain told everybody, you know, they shut Incheon down for a little while. And that's what the captain told us had happened. Okay? And it was scary time. When I got back, the only news I got was they had arrested the local gas station dealer there because he jacked up the prices like $3 a gallon the day that it happened. Y'all know that kind of stuff happens too. Now, who is going to give us these persecutions? Verse 16, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends. But everybody that cares about us are going to betray us. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And I talked about that kind of last week. Remember the example I gave of Jamal that was murdered because his dad didn't want him to be a Christian? Folks, that's going to happen even in the Western Christian groups. Because even now there are Christians who go to churches that believe that if you believe the Bible, you are evil. And they will turn on you quicker than you can think. Folks, their judgment is certain. And unless they repent and believe, because there is no unforgivable sin except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which I believe is rejection of the Holy Spirit, they're going to come for us, your family members, not just from other religions, but even from Western secularized humanists. They're going to come for you. How dare you tell me I'm wrong? How dare you tell me what I'm doing is not right? You know, you deserve to die for saying stuff like that. Folks, you go to some of these protests. That's what they say. That's what they do. I've told you the story about the little old lady that was carrying a cardboard cross at one of the protests. This is back in the early 2000s. And they beat her up. And then somebody said, had a sign behind him that said, we killed him once, if he comes back, we'll kill him again. Foolish, foolish people. The fool in his heart has said there is no God. And that kind of attitude will kill you. And you will die in sin and be separated from God and all that is good and holy for eternity. Folks don't like to hear that, but that is the gospel truth. If you die without Christ, you are condemned, period. Doesn't matter how good you are or what religion you were in. If you don't have Christ, if you are not in Christ, you will suffer eternal damnation. And that's just the truth, okay? Now, here's the good thing. It says, well, verse 17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Because we are prepared, others will think we're nuts. Folks, if we stand firm in our faith, they're going to think we're crazy. But you remember what Jesus said, if they done so to the master, what are they going to do to the disciples? Jesus' own family came after him because they thought he was nuts. How do I know this? Mark 3, verse 20 and 21. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard it, they went out to lay hold on him, and they said, he is beside himself. His friends in the Greek is a word that also means family members. And we see in other Gospels where his mother and his brothers and his sisters came and tried to stop him from teaching. Well, you know what? If they think Jesus is nuts, what do they think about us? They think we're insane. And you know, that's okay. I've been called crazy a lot in my life by some of you folks, as a matter of fact. But that's okay, because I know it's said in love. At least y'all said in love. Some of the other folks I can't quite figure out yet. But I'm going to tell you what, doesn't worry me, because if I'm standing in Christ, that's where I want to be. Because no matter what happens, I am not going to be abandoned by the Lord. And that's something that gives me no worries. Now, here's the best thing. Verse 18 says, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. God is going to take care of us. In our eternal life, our real selves, not this body, not this casket that our soul lives in right now. When that dies, we are freed, okay, to be in Christ. Now, when that happens, we're not going to perish. We're not going to be separated. What does John 3:16 tell us? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To perish means to be separated from God for eternity, to have a constant state of death. Okay, because just like we have eternal life, those that do not follow Christ have eternal death. Did it stop? Carry on. All right, here we go. Is that the wind? Okay. If we are in Jesus, nothing, no one can remove us from Him. We should have no worries. Because He said, don't worry about your head. There shall be not hair of your head perish. Okay, excuse me, brothers. Christ is God the Son, and He Himself told us not to worry about what is to be said or done when we are called to face that moment. Now, how do I apply these three things? Number one, boldly live out our faith, knowing we cannot be truly harmed if we are in Jesus. Physical death, maybe. Yes. Okay, this temporary thing is going to die because of original sin or because of someone else's sin. Okay? Original sin counts ourselves. All right, we are sinful by birth because we have inherited our sinfulness from Adam. Adam sinned, and in Adam all die. But in Christ, all are made alive. Notice, in Christ, we are all made alive. So we should not worry about being harmed. Our reputation, our jobs, our very lives, our families, all of it is temporary. It's temporary, but eternity is forever. And if you're in Christ, then you will have that blessed assurance that you don't need to worry about your eternity. Number two, be patient until the time we are called to stand firm, for we will be tested at some point. Some of you have been tested many times already through bad decisions, through family members, through people at work or at school. And you know what? You're here today. Therefore, you have said in your heart that you are going to be firm in your faith. Be patient until that time that we are called to stand before Christ. Because we're all going to stand before Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Some are going to have to stand in front of the great white throne. Folks, you don't want to be there. Okay? You want to be before Jesus Christ. Number three, learn from the master teacher so we are to be prepared. Trust in the Holy Spirit whom He has sent. He sent the Comforter to us. There's a reason He's called the Comforter. When you get into the Word of God, when you get on your knees in prayer, when you get surrounded by your brothers and sisters in Christ, you have a comfort that the world cannot and does not have. We have the Holy Spirit of God blessing us, teaching us all that He has commanded, which is, don't worry about what you're going to say. Not one hair of your head is going to be harmed. So brothers and sisters, boldly live out of faith, be patient, and learn from the master teacher so that we can be prepared for all that is to come. Whether it be war, or whether it be earthquake, or whether it be problems in the family, or whether it be sickness,
whatever it may be, we can be prepared knowing that we do not need to worry. So, in the words of the philosopher Alfred E. Newman, what me worry? I don't need to worry. You don't need to worry. You need to stand firm in Jesus Christ, for He has your back. Or as we used to say in the Navy, He's got your six. Okay, that's a pilot thing, but Matt will know what I'm talking about. So, brothers and sisters, I just ask that you remember that you don't need to be scared. You don't need to be fearful. You don't need to be worried. You need to be in Christ. Praise team.